It's been leading up to this, and now is the time.
No one can save the day like Robin Washit of Husker Online. Robin will
make you sway. I'm just going to say, enough with the rock. Boy, if somebody could just punch Littlefinger in the face,
might actually have to tweet at you and you can
cyber high-five each other. No one can
save the day like Robin Washit of Husker Online.
Pretty jacked.
That's right, everybody. It's that time. This is the guy I'm going to put full faith and trust in to get me back, sway me, to tell me that our beloved Nebraska basketball team is going to win tonight at Penn State. Robin Washit joining us here on Game Time. Robin, how are you, bud?
I'm doing all right. Now, you're asking
I need
a
help.
Lot for a guarantee like that, so let me ease into this interview first before I start going crazy.
Oh, okay. Well, here, I'll ease you in on this. This is Zach Taylor can now be your most hated former Husker because he's going after your Lou Anarumo, your secondary coach for the G-men. He's trying to get him to be his defensive coordinator in Cleveland, so or in Cincinnati. Yeah, there
I don't
you go.
Know if you watch the Giants secondary, he might actually be doing us a favor. So that continues to be on my list of favorite former Husker.
Hey, see there? There's our icebreaker. We got you there. All right, now tell me how they're going to win.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, the line is weird. I mean, I guess it's like last I saw, 3.5 or 4 point favorite for Penn State, and I think a lot of that just has to do with Nebraska's struggles on the road. You know, kind of ironic that their two best wins of the season came in true road wins, but other than those, they've had issues. You know, at least for the first half of the season. They were really good at home and then kind of just got by away from Pinnacle Bank Arena. And then once the issues kind of plagued inside Pinnacle Bank Arena, you know, they really had some struggles. But, you know, I think for Nebraska's side, they're the better team, in my opinion. You know, mm-hmm. Penn State has good players. Lamar Stevens, second leading scorer in the Big Ten, kind of their do-it-all type player. But, you know, they don't really have a lot that scares you. And so I think that this isn't necessarily an X's and O's point spread as it is just kind of Vegas has finally lost trust in Nebraska after having them favored in like every game during that 7-game losing streak. They finally learned their lesson and need Nebraska to go and prove it so they can go beat it a game or win a game that they should win away from home. And so, I mean, that's this is a pretty critical night for Nebraska's season, and especially their postseason hopes. This is a must win. You have to win this game because you have to get your win total as close to 18 at the absolute bare minimum going into Chicago as you can. And, you know, I mean, looking at the final four games, you don't really feel good about Nebraska's chances in really any of those. So this is the game that is your last remaining chance where you feel Nebraska has a very good shot to win. You have to take advantage. And if you do that, all of a sudden you've won three in a row, and you've got Purdue coming to town in a game at Pinnacle Bank Arena. It should be an electric atmosphere on a Saturday night that could set up for you know, one of those additional signature victories that could really make Nebraska's postseason resume look pretty good again. So, but it all starts with this. If they lose this, all that talk about what they need to do to get in the tournament kind of, I mean, kind of just drops off the cliff a little bit. So, I mean, this is a pivotal juncture in Nebraska salvaging what was such a promising start to the season. And if they can take care of business tonight, then all of a sudden you start to feel more and more optimistic about being able to capitalize on one, if not more, of the remaining four opportunities before the Big Ten tournament.
Robin, I asked this question maybe yesterday, but Isaiah Roby, if his stat line goes along somewhere the lines of 14, 10, and 2 to 4 blocks, that to me is the secret sauce for Nebraska. When he's in that mode, I think Nebraska gets back to what maybe they were toward the beginning of the year. If he pulls out a stat line like that tonight, can you quantify how much better of a chance they have to win that game?
Well, significantly better, but, you know, he's done really well since Isaac Copeland went out of the lineup. You know, that was a big question was, could Isaiah take on that lead dog role in the post? And he has certainly done that and then some. So you know, I'm not really worried about him, his numbers, because he's been putting up numbers. What needs to happen is for the other two, and maybe even Thomas Allen to it to an extent, to step it up and not only produce, but be much more efficient. James Palmer cannot go 3 of 17 from the field.
Yeah.
And I know that Northwestern, you know, he was their scouting report. They were going to stop James Palmer if it killed him. And you saw that with how many open looks they gave up to Isaiah Roby and even Glenn Watson to an extent. But, you know, I mean, James Palmer is still their guy on offense, and he needs to continue to score, but do so much more efficiently. I mean, you can't have a shooting line like that and expect Nebraska to have a chance to win. I mean, they're not going to score 59 points and have much of a chance to beat anyone that's left on their schedule. So, I mean, Watson, you feel good about his, the way he's bounced back the last couple of games. That must continue. But James needs to get back to good James. And then Isaiah needs to continue to be that alpha in the front court on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
So it goes beyond scoring, goes rebounding, protecting the rim, and just being a defensive presence. And if all those three things come together, if those three guys are playing at a high level, Nebraska has a chance to beat certainly Penn State. And, you know, I would say they would match up fairly well with, you know, the remaining four teams on the schedule. So that is kind of the first part. And then the second part, when you look at what Nebraska has done these past two games, they've kind of found their identity. And that identity is defense. They are winning defense. Obviously, the points are nothing to, you know, write home about, but their defense has been exceptional. You know, I mean, holding teams, not only the point totals, but the shooting percentages that they have, the shots they're blocking, the turnovers they're forcing, that is kind of getting back to the bread and butter that Tim Miles had earlier in his career when he didn't have necessarily that many offensive weapons. They've kind of hanging their hat on the defensive end of the floor, and I think these guys are starting to believe that they can win with defense. And so if you get those three top guys and even Thomas Allen to play up to their potential, I mean, they don't have to have the best career night, but they need to be good. And then they continue to play with that defensive effort. They're going to have a very good chance to do this thing and get back into the at-large tournament bid conversation, which, you know, is certainly on the table given the opportunity that's still ahead of them.
Yeah. Then that's, you know, I think at first, if you look at this backloaded schedule, like, whoa, Michigan State at the end. Hopefully we don't need those. Well, now they're in a position to need them. What's a realistic expectation of Nebraska's bench, Robin? Is it to come in and maintain defensive intensity, or is it to come in and be able to contribute offensively and score X amount of points? I know in a perfect world you get both. Which one would you favor, one over the other?
Well, I don't see anybody on that bench that can score. I mean, to be honest, outside of, you know, 4 to 6 points at most from any of those guys. So how are they going to impact the game? Well, for one, obviously you got to get productive minutes to give those starters a rest. And how you're productive, you do it through defense. If those guys can rebound, if they can play tough on-ball defense, you know, run teams off the three-point line, dive for loose balls, you know, make those hustle plays to, you know, extend possessions or whatever it may be, those are the things that they can do to be a productive bench, even though it might not necessarily show up in the final stat line. And so I don't expect any of those guys to all of a sudden light it up and be a huge offensive spark plug off the bench. But I think collectively that group can provide productive minutes, be, like you said, keep up that defensive energy, give those starters a break, provide some fresh legs, you know, during those middle of the half stretches. And, you know, if that's you'll take that. Because, you know, obviously Tim Miles is not concerned about fatigue when he didn't sub at all in the second half of that Northwestern game. So, I mean, he's willing to ride these starters as much as necessary, but life gets a lot easier when those bench guys are playing well and doing all of those little things that they were doing earlier in the year that kind of changed the course of games, even if, you know, you couldn't necessarily see it on the final box score.
Yeah. I want to buy in, Robin. Like, we're in year 6, 7 of Tim Miles' tenure, and I still struggle to say, like, okay, what's this program's identity? Like, what is it when it gets down to a rough situation? What do they go to? What do you need to see them go to in a rough situation? Because it's going to happen in this stretch. You got Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa to after Penn State to finish it up. They're going to come on rough patches. What's something they can fall back on to continue or to try to make this final push?
that's defense for me. Yeah. And it's, I think that's what's kind of flipped the switch on this season a little bit, is they've, again, I think, identified that they can win by playing relentless, aggressive defense. And now that is going to make for an ugly product at times. You're going to get low-scoring, rock-fight games. But really, all that matters at this point is what the final score says.
Yeah.
You're holding teams to 50-some points on low 30 shooting percentage, you're going to have a pretty good chance to win, especially, you know, the X factor from this year compared to previous years when they've kind of tried to adopt this philosophy is they actually have a James Palmer and an Isaiah Roby and a senior Glenn Watson and a Thomas Allen. So they have guys that are capable of turning it on offensively so that, you know, if one of those guys or two of those guys or whatever are able to get hot, and you pair that with the defense that they've been playing with, they're going to have a chance in every game. And so, I mean, that's got to be something they fully embrace going forward here, because that is their only ticket to getting back into the NCAA tournament, is being as good of a defensive team as they've been all season long, and just continuing to keep games close late into the second half and letting those senior or upperclassmen playmakers make plays down the stretch when you need them the most. And so far, that's worked the past couple games. It's probably going to have to be the recipe tonight, just because of how difficult it seems to be for Nebraska to win in State College.
Yeah.
And then look at the competition level, how it kicks up over the final four games. That defense is going to have to continue to be better and better every time they take the court. And if it is, Nebraska will have a chance.
Robin, we'll play a scenario. Nebraska gets rid of the hex of Happy Valley. They win tonight. Hold at home. So beat Purdue and Iowa at home. Lose on the road to Michigan State. How many do they have to win in the Big Ten tournament then to get into the NCAA tournament? Because I don't think going three and two the last five is enough.
Yeah. I think to be safe, you probably have to win one.
Win one.
To eliminate, you know, real that nervous feeling. If they do that, I mean, that's three quad one wins that you're adding to your resume,
yeah,
and two losses that aren't going to hurt you, and two quad one losses. That's the crazy thing. Their final five games are all going to be in the quad one category.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not going to get punished, and you're going to be heavily rewarded for any successes you do have. And then if you go on a neutral site, and the Big Ten being what it is, you're talking about, at worst, the quad two matchup in your first round game, and you win that, that's a pretty good resume right there. I mean, you're still talking about a 19-win team with five or six quad one wins in the best conference in college basketball. I mean, that's a pretty good resume. So, yeah, I mean, that's the best thing compared to this season to last year. They didn't have any opportunity last year. I mean, the Big Ten had no respect. None of their conference wins meant anything. Whereas this year, you end with, I mean, it's a gauntlet, no doubt about it, but you have every chance in the world to play yourself back into this thing. And then that will carry over into Chicago when, you know, you can – potentially get hot and get one or maybe even two wins to really feel good about your overall body of work. And considering how weak the at-large field is right now, the Big Ten teams are going to get the benefit of the doubt when put head-to-head against, you know, a lot of these mid-majors and certainly some of these mid-level other Power 5, Power 6 conferences like the Pac-12 or the Big East or whatever it may be, just because how respected the Big Ten is. And so it's all right there in front of Nebraska. Problem is that, you know, it's entirely on them to make sure that they take advantage of it.
Robin, your honest opinion, is this team that had lost 7-0, does it have the ability to finish the regular season going 6-1? Okay, you're going to have to pull an upset of either Michigan State, maybe not completely off the table, but definitely the yeoman's work. Is it in them to do that?
I would be stunned.
Okay.
If that happened, to be quite honest with you. I mean, this team, I just don't think they have the firepower to do that. I think that they're going to fluster a team or two down the stretch in those final four games just with that style of play that they've adopted. They're going to, you know, late in the year, guys are tired, and they're not going to want to play against a team that's just aggressive and physical the way Nebraska has been defensively. And so that, I think, will lend itself to the opportunity to pull off an upset and maybe two. But to say that they're going to win, no, but six of their next seven, I think that's probably asking a little too much. And
yeah,
good thing is they don't need to do that.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if they do that, they're in. There's no
yeah.
question. But the bar, I think, is much lower to where, you know, you obviously win tonight, But you have to win, you know, two more and then one in Chicago, and then you are in a very good situation. So I think they have the capability to do that, but 6-1 I think is a bit too far out of reach.
Okay. I'm trying to find best case scenario, worst case. I mean, worst case scenario is that just nothing goes right and you're out and it's over.
Yeah, I mean,
but your best case, like,
out and
yeah,
who knows? Crazier things have happened.
Best case, somebody gets a hot hand and we just start firing and away we go. Because I believe Palmer's best attributes offensively are, and this is the captain obvious statement, but it's what he did last year. It's the drive, it's the shot in the lane, and it's the foul. I mean, that's I think he becomes so deadly with that, but it's somebody outside has to be able to knock down that shot for him to get that opportunity.
Look what Northwestern did. I mean, they packed the paint and just basically dared Nebraska to beat them with three-pointers, and Isaiah finally started shooting them, even though he passed up about seven others where he was wide open on the three-point line. But those are the types of things that need to happen to make James Palmer James Palmer. I mean, you can't expect him to go drive in the lane against three defenders and, you know, one, finish your shot, or two, get the benefit of the doubt on a call when you're just kind of recklessly barreling your way towards the rim. So this offense is so much better when they make threes. And, again, that's an obvious statement, but it is such a defining point for Nebraska, and it has been all year. When they are shooting well from the perimeter, they are extremely difficult to beat because of how good they are at driving to the lane when there's actually paths to get there. So, obviously, it starts with them making shots inside, but it is, you know, almost just as important for them to hit from behind the arc to just create those opportunities for Palmer, for Watson, and even Roby to finish at the rim.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. I want Nebraska to succeed. I look for what they can fall back on. I hope Glenn Watson has a day. I want him to finish out his last, you know, career at Nebraska here, just as a guy that views the utmost confidence, which I think he's been lacking at times. I hope this past couple game Glenn Watson is able to finish out the string, because I think he's an amazing talent. And just there's been something in there that hasn't always connected, right? I think he can run the show. I just want to almost like let the reins up and be like, hey, kid, just go play basketball. Just go have a blast.
Yeah, he's a guy that wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Yep.
And he has the knock on him is he's let frustration get the best of him pretty much every season that he's been here. I mean, you go back every single year, he's gone through extended slumps where he'll go from being a potential all-conference player to hardly scoring a point. And I mean, that's the knock on him. He's too good of a player to be that bad for that long. And the good news is he's been in double figures now, two games in a row, starting to see that confidence come back in him. And when Glenn's playing with confidence, he's the guy that makes everything go for this team. And when he struggles, it's no coincidence that he goes four games scoring 15 combined points and Nebraska loses every single one of them. So he, as Nebraska goes, Glenn Watson goes. And so if he's on, that is only going to help Nebraska's chances of actually pulling this thing off.
There you go, folks. Fantastic stuff. He's got me for sure going to bet the under. And then...
bet I have tonight, yes. Yeah. I don't even know what the over-under is, but I think take the under.
I mean, once you throw rock fight, I'm like, all right, there we go. That's under.
Yep. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of broken backboards and rims, and not in a good way.
Yeah. R-Dub, it's always good to talk to you, buddy, and I always appreciate you taking the time to chat with me when I'm on.
No problem, man. Talk to you later.
See you, buddy. Yeah, there you go. Bet the under. That's what I took out of that. Got to win tonight. Honestly, Nebraska's in a triple elimination tournament. Got to win tonight. Beat Purdue. All tier one, so you can lose the two on the road. And then you got to beat Iowa at home. I mean, it isn't anymore Iowa just sitting there at the end of the season like, hey, we're about ready to screw you guys over. Just get ready. Former producer Corey is just sitting back just waiting. He's like, yep, we're going to cost them the season, and I'm going to go on a Twitter rant like nobody's business. I'm just going to troll tweet everybody out there. Who's a little white point guard for Iowa? I can't remember his name. Bohannon, he's probably going to go for about 50. 15 threes, NCAA record, just shooting from half court in Fuego. Come on, Timmy. One time. Lock it up. Play good D. Get in a rock fight. 49-47 W. Bet the under. Take a break.